Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason O'Fear. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
Well, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason O'Fear, here with Sherry Peng, as always. Sherry, how's it going? Did you have a good week?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Just got done with a big show, and yeah, did really well, and reached a lot of people that I needed to reach, and it was really, really, really nice. I'm kind of tired, but, you know, it's good to be able to relax at home and do the show, and I was very excited to come home and just, like I said, be on air.
And that was the Body and Mind show?
Yes, the Body Mind show, definitely. So, not as big as a turnout, but, it is what it is, but I think it's going to grow. So, anyway, how was your week, Jason?
Oh, busy at work as usual. I spent a very uninteresting, weekend. I've slept a lot, because I don't really sleep really well during the week. I've used the weekend to recoup, and so, in a way, it kind of sucks. You just blow the weekend because you're sleeping through it, but on the same kind of time.
Right, and you're cutting in and out. Just want to let you know.
No. But having that problem lately, am I still cutting in?
Yes, you are. You are cutting in and out right now.
Okay. Well, I'll keep my talking to a minimum. I don't know why it's been doing that lately, but why don't you tell us a little bit about our guest, and we'll get started, and I'll just kind of keep my mouth shut.
That's fine. We'll try it. It'll be a good challenge to figure out what you're saying in between the lines, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, our guest is a returning guest, very much in demand. His name is Joe Panuho. He's from Hawaiian Hauntings Tour. And he's going to talk about, he's going to conclude our Halloween episode with stories, very true stories, account about demonic possession and his personal accounts on his experience and going to Bobby Mackey's. I'm not familiar with that, but if you are, Jason, you can reiterate or Joe can, but I believe it's one of the haunted places in Kentucky. So, other than Octagon Hall, I don't know which one is worse as far as haunting goes or incidents or history, but Joe's going to talk about his personal experience and what happened afterwards.
Mackey's is that one that Ghost Adventures went to and they had the portal to hell in the back. It's in an episode. I don't know a lot about it. I've talked to somebody else that had done an investigation there. Supposedly it's a pretty haunted place, and so I'd be really curious to see if his experiences. Can we bring him on right now?
We can bring him on right now.
Alrighty.
You're fine now. You're not cutting in and out. Sorry,
yeah,
folks.
It's iffy. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? You guys can hear me all right?
We can hear you fine.
Great.
Hey, aloha,
okay.
Joe.
Hey, aloha. How's it? Thanks for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We just really enjoy your personality, your down-to-earth nature, and I just love your stories that you can share. It's a really nice change with when you share the story. So anyway, I'd like to have you share that with our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, it'll be my pleasure. That's what I love to do. Anything beforehand? Or do I need to just jump right in?
Let's
right
recap
in.
A little bit. Yeah, well, let's do a little recap, a little bio of yourself, and in case I'm going to listen.
Okay, sure.
From the last show.
Okay. I've been on a few times before. My name is Joe Punohu. I have a group on Facebook, Hawaiian Hauntings, where we share stories and experiences. My experience in the paranormal pretty much started when I was a young kid, all the way up until like today. I've always been intrigued with the paranormal. Being Native Hawaiian myself, among other races, it has always been a connection there for me. I found myself working for a company called Oahu Ghost Tours, which taught me a lot. We went to some of the most haunted places on the island every single week for four years, once or twice a week, to tell stories to visitors, kama'aina, the residents, the military, all of them. So you figure if you go to these battlegrounds and these sacred places and these scary places twice a week, every week for 4 years, you're going to end up with a lot of experiences and stories and stuff like that as well. That's kind of where I'm at. And so the experiences are always intriguing me and how things happen, even the science behind it. But it's Halloween. We're not going to get into the science and stuff. People like hear scary ghost stories. So, yeah, we can do that.
Well, I know we had briefly mentioned Bobby Mackey's, and I would be really interested to hear about your experiences there. I've seen the episode of Ghost Adventures a long time ago, and with television, you never know what to believe. Is that place really haunted? Tell us about your...
Sure. It all depends on the experience and the person, I believe. I mean, I don't watch TV. I got two children, so when the TV's on, it's SpongeBob or cartoons. Or I'm at work or something. So a buddy of mine, Eric in Ohio, he came to live here. He watches the Ghost Adventures and stuff regularly. In fact, I didn't even see an episode of it. I saw like half of an episode when I got to Ohio, and then like 3 days later, we went to Bobby Mackey's. But I had researched all of the history and stuff like that, and I had seen little clips of like where Zach, they're in the basement, and the spirit box, a tool that scans radio frequency and, you know, you can talk to spirits with it, said, starts talking in Zach's voice, telling everyone to get out, and Zach's upstairs and he's not obviously doesn't know anything like that. It's a place that can really, really mess with you. I did my research. There was a lot of history there. Some of which was confirmed, some of which unconfirmed. Murders, of course, the portal to hell. It was a slaughterhouse, and that's where they would dump the blood and all the guts, and it would run off into the river. It always just had a very foreboding feel when I would see pictures and watch videos of it. Some of the stories there I've heard were just really uncanny, and I actually hesitated a few times going there because I wasn't sure if I was ready. We're going to do it a little backwards tonight. There's a case that I was working on that started in the very beginning of August 2014, and September 2014 is when I went to Bobby Mackey's. So this was a case where I worked with somebody who had a demonic demonic possession, and this was a first for me. And then to top it all off, yeah, let's go to Bobby Mackey's, which is a heavily demonic place. There's said to be a lot of stuff that's happened to people. Bobby Mackey himself, his wife was pushed down the stairs by a spirit and had a miscarriage, which is interesting because the first murder, Pearl Bryan, I believe it was killed when she was pregnant. It was in the same trimester as Bobby Mackey's wife, also the same trimester as another woman in between when it was a little bar or a little like mafia bar, kind of Italian pub thing. One of the dancers, the entertainers, she decided to kill herself because her father, the mafia guy, killed her boyfriend or the father of her child. So she decided to rebel and kill herself, and she was in the same trimester. So you got these three women, you know, who all had miscarriages. Well, I mean, they died, but in the same trimester. I was very intrigued. I went to Facebook, and a lot of people were telling me from the area, no, it's not haunted. We've been there many times. Nothing's happened, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm pretty sure every priest that's heard of it has gone there to bless it. I'm also pretty sure that the place is pretty bumping all the time with paranormal investigators because of its what's been seen on the Travel Channel and stuff. And, you know, but I decided, you know, it's like a milestone for me. Gotta go. So a bunch of us went over there on a Sunday night, and we decided to go. We did a 6-hour, 7-hour investigation overnight. And we got a tour. It was fantastic. The lady in charge was really great. You know, she was there just talking with us. She would share her experiences and so forth. We're walking around. We're looking around. And my buddy got all this equipment and stuff. We go into this little room on the side. It's called the Room of Faces. It's in the basement. And so we're inside this Room of Faces. And it said that if you look in the walls, you can see faces. And I believe it was in the aftershocks of Bobby Mackey's. They had a recording in that room, and there was a lot of stuff going on. I forget what happened, pardon me, but it was something to do with this woman and right where she was sitting. And so as we set up our tables and our cameras and everything around there, we turned off all the lights. There is this humongous generator on the side of us behind the little fence. You know, I guess the Room of Faces is where the generator is, and it regulates the temperature there. So I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. It went off in the 6 hours or 7 hours we were there. I think it went off two or three times. But we're sitting over there.
Wow.
And it's just huge. I've never seen a generator so big, but we have no need for heaters in Hawaii. So we get over there. We're asking questions. We're looking around. And then, you know, we're just kind of silent and paying attention. And my friend Jennifer, you start to hear a little tink, 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 tink. And she's like, Joe, there's something tapping my chair leg. The metal chair leg. There was something like tapping it with, I envisioned like a claw, just tap, tap, tap. And she was starting to get a little scared. And I'm like, okay, you know, can you do it three times? Can you do it four times? You know, and it just kind of stopped. And so we start talking again, just hanging out, and you start to hear the tapping noise again. And I start to get a little irritated. I mean, it was a long week for me. I was tired. I do not like to provoke. I do not provoke. I'm against that, especially in Hawaii, because every ghost is somebody's family member. But I got a little irritated, you know, and so I told my other friend, Doug, these words almost came out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, Doug, I almost said this again. He's like, what do you mean? What did you almost say? I said, oh, Doug, I almost said, what? You're this big, strong demon that everyone's supposed to be afraid of, and the best you can do is tap at a chair? And Doug's like, oh, and you just had to say that. Because immediately everything stopped. And there was a lady, Anne, on the left of me, and you could feel the air getting heavy. I mean, the air was getting much, much heavier. I felt that when things start to manifest and like concentrate in one area. Anne tells me, she's holding her rosary, and she's like, Joe, I can't remember any of my prayers. I can't remember anything. And so Doug tells me across the room, he's like, Joe, why don't you tell her how to protect herself? And so I open my mouth up, one word comes out, and then there's this loud, loud, huge noise. We all jump up and scream. And in the same breath, we jumped up and screamed, we started laughing because there was a generator that turned on right behind us. So, you know, perfect timing. I opened up my mouth to tell her how to protect herself. And this generator drowns out any noise that you can make. I mean, we all screamed, but we couldn't hear each other scream. That's how loud it was. And a second later, I realized what was happening. This thing did not want me to tell her how to protect herself. That's why it had the generator start up. That's why she couldn't hear me. So I pulled her over to me, and I started yelling in her ear how to protect herself with the white light, how to, you know, surround yourself with that. Don't let anything bad in. And I'm yelling in her ear the whole time this is happening. She's listening. And as soon as the last word comes out, guess what happens? The generator turns off. We're all sitting down again. And I could feel the pressure is still there. The heaviness is still there. And what I've learned many times, I don't consider myself a psychic, but things that come and jump into your head unbidden, I take to be more of truth. You know what I mean? This thing was, there was something directly in front of my face, really mad, really upset, just glaring at my face, inches from my face. And it was challenging me. It was mad at me. Doing the tours, I'm always the protector. I go out, I tell people stories, and I always assume the role of protector. If anything comes, I'm the wall between them and it. I feel that that challenges a lot of spirits now. So it got really, really close to me, closer than anything ever has that I can remember before. And the reason why is because Bobby Mackey's was a testing ground for me. I had left everything outside. I told all of my guardian angels, all of my protectors, all of my family to wait outside and to let the natural course of events take place, because I need to test myself. I need to see if I'm up for this. I need to see if I can survive this. I need to become stronger. And so I had no protection on me at all.
Wow.
And this thing was really, really close. And I started telling it, you need to go away. You're not welcome here. And it was just getting more, it wasn't listening. And that never really happened. I was getting really kind of freaked out a little bit. And then all of a sudden, this happened to me a few times. Words start coming out of my mouth before they go into my brain. I'm starting to say things that are surprising me as well. I feel that it's something else speaking through me.
Yes, they were controlling you, right?
Yeah. It's an angel, it's my ancestors, because whatever I usually say in these times are usually the right thing to say. And the words I said was, leave now or my guardian will devour you. And in the same breath, you can hear in the recording, I said, what the hell did I just say? I mean, my guardian will devour you? But that has meaning to me, because one of my guardians in Hawaii, I didn't even know he was a guardian. I had trouble with this spirit. I threw a few mediums on the tour, and mediums I've worked with, we found out that this spirit, for lack of a better word, he is an old Hawaiian god. His name is Kukaili Moku, the god of war, who demanded human sacrifice, bloodshed. He would give you victory in battle. That, we found out, was my family god that my family had worshipped back in the old, old, old days. Kukaili Moku means the devourer of land, the snatcher of land. So I had summoned him. I had conjured him, and he came to my protection. Whereas he was always something that had harassed me before, he now protected me from this thing. Anyway, and then the thing ran away. You know, it just disappeared. It evaporated. It was gone. And that's just part one, though. I'll tell the story after.
What do you think? Was it a demon? Was it a djinn? What do you think it is that was in that room at the time? What do you think?
I think it was a demon, but we're not talking in terms of like Latin-speaking demons. That comes a little bit later. We're not talking in terms of fire and brimstone. Demons as in lesser spirits. There are many, many, many of them. They're feeders. There's different types of them, different ranks, different categories, different classes. They all do different things. This was one of them, or maybe it was something else. But I'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
I learned a lot on this case. Well, this girl that I was helping, she was possessed. And as I was talking to her, I wasn't sure half the time whether I was talking to her or the thing that was possessing her. And what really freaked me out was, after all of this happened, I go back upstairs to relax a little bit, kick back, you know, catch my breath, and kind of process what all went over. And all of a sudden, she messages me, Joe, what's going on? I said, oh, nothing. I'm at Bobby Mackey's right now. What's Bobby Mackey's? Oh, this is a haunted bar. You know, don't worry about it. She's like, I feel that you're in danger. I said, well, we had some stuff happening, but don't worry. We took care of it. You know, it's done. It's finished. And she messaged me back, it's not done yet. Or no, she's like, it's not over yet, ... And that was the end of the conversation.
Uh-oh.
And I'm sitting down, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, right. You know, okay, whatever. I'm safe. There was a confrontation. I won. You know, or, you know, I passed the test. I left the basement because my buddy was still wanted to catch proof and evidence and, you know, this kind of stuff. So I felt that by me being there, my guardian would be there as well. The things would stay away. I had gone on a little walking around adventure before, and I was looking for stuff, and I was looking around. And when I got into the room and I was relaxing, I realized I was missing my glasses. So they had recently opened a room upstairs where the caretaker for the bar used to live. Now, the caretaker had like on the aftershocks, he got possessed a few times and had priests had to come by, and it was a whole big thing. He lived there for a long time. But now they opened that up to go investigating as well. And so, because my glasses were missing, I'm like, damn, I think they're in there. So I walk upstairs by myself into the apartment by myself. And it's cold. You know, it's September in Kentucky. To me, it's cold anyway. And I'm walking around looking for my glasses, shining my light. As I'm walking up the stairs, I start to say the Our Father who art in heaven. And I'm kind of like, okay, this is interesting, but let's go with it. I start praying and praying, and then I get in the room, and I'm looking around, and then I turn around, and this hot gust of wind just pushes me, hits me, pushes me, and it's like, and I go sprawling out the door. I run out the door. I run down. I'm like falling down the stairs trying to get out so fast. I'm scared. I'm like, what the hell was that? That was not something natural. That was not natural at all. I'm like, what the hell was that? So I go downstairs and I go to get my friend Jen, and I'm like, Jen, do me a favor, can you come up with me to the room? I'm a little scared right now. So she helps me look for the glasses. We can't find the glasses. We search for it for about half an hour, 45 minutes. This whole time, half an hour, 45 minutes is going by, an hour, we could not find it. We decided to give up. But while this was going on, something in me was changing. There was this weight that was slowly but constantly pressing down on me to the point where I was an hour into it, I was struggling to breathe. I couldn't, I was like, I had to sit down and I had to completely keep control over myself from freaking out. And I had a hard time breathing. I had a hard time, you know, and when you're in a situation like that, the absolute worst thing you can do is to get scared. So I'm fighting back the fear. At the same time, I'm trying to figure out how to solve the problem and how to do this and how to get rid of it and what's happening. I didn't feel anything but this pressure, this weight, this, you know, my shortness of breath. I decided to go ahead and throw salt. Oh, one more thing, too. As I'm walking around the room, I see signs of the case that I had been working on for a month. I see 666 everywhere, the bar. You guys ever heard of the Monster Energy drink?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the symbol is the M, but the M's are the three little scratch marks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw a little thing where in, I think it's Jewish or Hebrew, Jewish, one of those scratch marks is a symbol for six, and there are three of them. So Monster is a big supporter of Bobby Mackey's, and everywhere I look, you see the Monster's logo, and everywhere I look, I see 666 glowing on the wall, posters. Huh?
There's some YouTube videos where other people have figured that out, and with the whole Monster logo. Watched them. It's pretty interesting.
It is. It's pretty, and I come across these things, and I'm like, oh, cool, you know. But at this time, it wasn't very cool. I end up throwing my pahakai, the salt that I brought over to protect myself, around me, around the room. The lady says I can go ahead and throw the salt around the bar. You know, it's okay, as a way of, like, protecting. And this is salt that I personally, well, a friend of mine gave me some, like, that he picked from, like, a fish pond, red salt, rock salt. And the other ones, I went out into the tide pools back in Hawaii, and I, you know, asked permission, and I say thank you, and I grabbed some salt. It's for blessing. Very, very effective, yeah. It ended up working for a little while, and it ended up working. But, you know, we wound up the investigation. Everything was fine. I found my glasses the next day. It was zipped away in my friend's purse, like in the little pocket on the side, on the inside of the purse. It was zipped into it. And she was one of them that was running around helping me look for it. So I know she didn't do it. Something must have put it there.
Mm.
But that was strange. I had this feeling that something had changed. And after Bobby Mackey's, we went to Saddam's Hill Rectory in Cincinnati as well, just right out over there, a haunted rectory, and things started happening. Everybody that went with me that night, things started happening. It wasn't, and it was weird because it wasn't like an attachment where something had followed you home. There was no spirit. It was that something was happening, something different. And, I mean, I started hearing voices. I've never heard voices. I mean, to the point where it sounds just like you and me. And we're driving in the car. All of a sudden, I hear my friend, he doesn't have his radio on. And we're driving into from Ohio to Chicago. And I hear something come by the window that are up and say, "Hi, thank you." I turn to my friend Doug. I'm like, "Dude, did you hear that?" He's like, "I didn't hear nothing." I go to Maine to meet up with some family, and we're at my cousin's house. I was getting married where he's staying. And I'm over there eating with my dad, my cousin, my brother. We're outside on the patio. We're eating dinner. And I hear this girl, like a little girl, singing upstairs. And I'm like, "Wow, she sings really good. Who's that?" You know, I turn to my cousin. I'm like, "Hey, McConnell, hey, who's singing up there?" He's like, "What are you talking about? Singing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't hear nobody singing." I look at my dad, I'm looking at my brother, and they're like, "Oh, we don't hear nothing." My dad, he knows, though. He's like, "Well, if you hear it, I don't doubt. But I don't hear anything." About half an hour later, I hear a bunch of little girls running through the house, screaming and playing. And that's when I realized that there's only adults in that house. And I'm outside eating. My auntie's next to me. I turn to my cousin again. I'm like, "Hey, did you hear that?" And my auntie looks at me. "Oh, what, the little girl screaming, running around, playing." I'm like, "Yeah, you can hear that too." She's like, yeah. She points up to the top. She's like, "Yeah, I hear them. They sing over there sometimes. They sing really nice, yeah?" And I'm like, "You can hear them too. I'm not going crazy." She always had a gift where she could hear and she could see and stuff like that. So something had shook me up to the point where I could start hearing them, you know. And I got to the house when I immediately knew there were at least two young girls in the house, without even, you know, knowing, without even thinking about it. There were these two young girls that were ghosts. But this kind of stuff kept happening. We were driving back to Chicago, and I swear, you know, we're following my phone. The GPS on my phone was perfect. I mean, it led us everywhere without a hitch, without a problem. I'm on my phone, and, you know, I'm just following the directions. It's telling us turn left here, turn right here. And pretty soon we're driving in a straight line for like 45 minutes. And I'm like, "Dude, I'm looking at the sun." I'm like, "Bro, we're heading the wrong way. We're heading east. We're supposed to be going west." He's like, "No, listen to your phone. It always works." So we went a little bit further, and then I'm like, "Nah, dude, we're heading the wrong way." And so I turn my phone on, and I look at the map of where we are. We were on Route 66, Highway 6, and it was lined up on my map where all three numbers were together, 666.
Wow.
I remember this because I took a screenshot. Many, many license plates that I had seen had the number 666 on them. I got to Maine. I rode to the house with my cousin, and he looks at me. He starts laughing. He's like, "I didn't even tell him any of this." He's like, "Oh, Joe, you like the ghost stories and stuff?" Yeah. I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, check out the mileage in my rental car. It was 6,666.6.
Oh, wow.
So why continue to do these investigations and put yourself out there? I mean, if evil or demonic activity that's attracted to you, it seems to me that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, you're right, but I have two options, to continue or to quit. And should I quit, that is a sign of weakness. It's not going to change the fact that these things already know me. It's not going to change the fact that people are still going to be coming to me for help. It's like a medium, a sensitive. If they have a gift, it doesn't matter how often or how hard they don't want it to be there. They're still going to have ghosts coming to them for help. You know, I'm not giving it any kind of weakness that it can come in and, you know, "Oh, yeah, well, you're going to quit. We're going to make you try and quit," kind of a thing. I'm kind of calming down until my kids get a little older. But, yeah. And this thing was so invasive that it was talking to me on the phone while I'm talking to my children and calling me these horrible names and these dirty words and all of this stuff. I mean, my kids are on the line. They can't hear anything. But I can hear this voice on the line calling me these horrible names, and I have to tell my kids I'll call them back later.
Like, you could physically hear it. Like, it wasn't in your head. Like, them, like...
It was just on my phone. The only voice it came to I've ever heard on electrical devices. It sounded like... like that.
Mm.
But yeah, Yeah. It took me about a year or two. I'm still kind of recovering from this whole thing, and I was reading up, and let me just end this part of the story. I was reading up a lot and researching a lot about this, and I was thinking that my call is to become a demonologist. That's my priest kind of suggested, like, kind of nudged that at me, you know, that God selects people to do this field, and it's not our choice. So I'm reading these memoirs and stuff of the demonologist, and, you know, their journals and stuff, and I'm really impressed by this one. I forget his name. I just read a little bit of it, but the part that I happened to see completely, perfectly described what I went through. He said, what you need to realize is when you make contact and you become close to something that is so anti-human, so against humanity, you know, a part of your soul withers away and dies. And for a while, your entire body wishes that it went with it. And that's exactly what it was. When at Bobby Mackey, something in me shriveled up and died.
Wow.
As I said, we all experience things differently. My other friends that came with me, they experienced just uncontrollable anger at moments the following months. Just no reason at all. Very nice people, not angry at all. All of a sudden, they have these uncontrolled outbursts of anger, you know, or depression, or, you know, lust, or all of these things. It was horrible, you know. They don't even know where it came from. I experienced similar, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I struggled to control my thoughts. I struggled to control my emotions in public, at family functions, wherever it happened. These things would just want to burst out of me.
So it was a very
heavy thing for me to go through.
With Bobby Mackey's, is there any, like, it was a slaughterhouse, and I guess there were some murders. Is there any other history that would have suggested why that place is so haunted or so dark?
Well, they believe in the portal where the portal to hell was, in the basement where the, you know, all of that stuff was, that there were demonic rituals. And it's even said that some people believe that the first girl that was murdered, Pearl Bryant, she was decapitated and her head was thrown down the well. You know, so there's a lot of things going. Now, let me continue a little bit on this as well. My friend Doug, he is a amazing guy. I mean, when I met him, half of the things he said, I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. But getting to know him, I mean, he's legit. Everything he does, he's a conduit. He has crossed over to the other side and then come back into his body. So he retains some memories of the other side. And what happens is he crosses over spirits. The spirits will go through him, see his memories, and remember the other side and cross over, and the earthbound spirits will not no longer be earthbound. But what he did at Bobby Mackey's was he was in the room of faces for about an hour by himself. There were the two murderers that were still there, he told me, and he wanted to get them to cross over. So the whole time he told me he forcefully crossed over these two guys, dragged them through him like he was the portal, and forced them to cross over. And I know this is proof because the next morning in the hotel, something he had explained to me years ago at the Valeska Axe Murder House that happened to him happened again. This is the only two times it's ever happened to him, he told me. He woke up with, he's bald, you know, he's bolo head. He woke up and, you know, and told me, I mean, he was still lying in bed. He's like, Joe, come over here, Joe, look at this. There was blood on his pillow. And not just blood, there was some kind of black tarry substance, but not quite as thick as tar. It was this black thing that had stained the pillow, you know, and I looked at his head. There was no cuts. There was no opening. There was no blood coming out of the ears or anything like that at all. You know, he's like, dude, he's like, man, this is just like when I was in Iowa, you know. He did a crossover there, and the same thing happened. He explained it to me like they go through his body, and all of the crap, pardon my language, and all of the things that he had accumulated, that these guys, these murderers, these bad guys had accumulated in their life, they just drop it off in him and cross over. And so we get stuck in him, and it manifests as this black thing. After we came back from the rectory, the blood was still on the pillow, but the black thing was gone. It was strange.
That'd be interesting to test it, like, what it is.
Yeah. That's what he told me. That's the first thing he said when he came back. He's like, you know, I thought I'd have an opportunity to get it tonight, but damn, he's like, I should have taken a sample of it. It doesn't matter. It would have disappeared anyway, you know? But ectoplasm, perhaps.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he told me after, he's like, well, don't worry, the place has been taken care of. And something in me kept nagging that, no, it hasn't. He's like, well, I crossed over those two guys. You know, I'm like, but it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people have crossed them over too, and that they are crossed over. But interesting part of that too is that I kept getting no. The place, I mean, like, what? Are you going to go to Bobby Mackey's and it's not going to be haunted anymore? I don't think so. The lady, Angie, told me that when I was in charge of that, she told me that there was the possibility of portals all around. And under the ground, there was limestone, like limestone caverns. And there was a north-flowing river right under there, too, they believe. And so when you have water, you have the conductor for the energy. You have limestone, and that's more or less a superconductor, you know, for the energy. You're going to have these portals and these things that can continuously come through until you close the portals. And so you're going to have these demons come back through, and put on the persona of these murderers again, and the haunting will continue again and again, no matter how many times you bless or exorcise the place or whatever. And that's what I believe to be true. So you can still go back there and it's still haunted.
Yeah, we hear
it's complicated.
We hear about portals a lot. So it's just an access point for spirits to cross over into this reality. Like, how does all that work?
It could be many, many things. It could be a very concentrated point of energy where things can simply manifest easier. It could be a in between of two different points, like two different dimensions, but not as in Star Trek teleporting dimensions to the other side of like billions of light years away, but more like three-dimension, four-dimension, like how we see here, that there are things all around us that we just can't perceive until you're in the right places. I don't know. I've seen a lot of interesting things. A lot of friends of mine have done studies with portals and stuff. But the way I see it is there's no set thing for it. There's no, like, this is what a portal is, because it could be many, many different things. But for this case, things can come through it. These demons can come through it. In fact, what I was told was that there were three demons. And in the beginning, in the room of faces, one demon came up and challenged me. When my guardian won, two other demons came, and they kind of like did a Power Ranger thing and merged into one super demon. So it was a collective of three demons and exponentially more powerful than the one. And that's what got to me, and that's what made me had a hard time breathing, and that's what really messed me up. But these things can do that. But we can do that too, yeah? So we hold hands and we pray, and we're exponentially more stronger than we are apart. These are all little cool things I've learned. But, yeah, this is the story. That's my story of Bobby Mackey's. I would love to go back there just because it's like a milestone for me, a big one, and I'd like to relive it and go look and say, oh, yeah, this is where that happened. That's where this happened, you know, that kind of stuff. One day, perhaps. My wife's not too thrilled about it, though. what time is it now? Okay, still got a few times. I'm going to just give a little the story that happened before, and this was what led up to everything. And this to me was the scariest thing, the scariest case I've ever worked on. I've been listening to you guys show, and I'm hearing a lot of people talk about demonic entities and their encounters and stuff. And I'm really grateful for it because I learned so much, you know, from other people's experiences. I hope that me sharing this experience, people can learn from as well. The names I'm going to change because, you know, privacy and that kind of stuff. But I was given the okay to share the story from the person it happened to. So we'll call her Stacy. I had known Stacy for about a year and a half. She had come on tours, you know. In fact, one time she went to the plantation village and she had recorded me talking. Nice girl, you know. She wouldn't tell me what she did as a job, though. But, you know, that's her business. That was her business. 2014, she asked for help, and it gets to me. There's a picture of her with something white either coming out of her or entering her as she's lying down. And it gives sensitives in our group just the heebie-jeebies. I mean, nobody offered to help her. They called me. And so I'm like, all right. And I just do the regular interview. I'm like, so what have you been doing? You know, what do you think caused this? What, you know, did you walk on a headstone? Did you do something wrong? Is this a ghost that's mad at you and following you? Because there is an attachment on you and you want it to go away. And she explained that it had been with her since she was a little girl. And it's now becoming unhealthy. And it's like her heart is having problems and it's doing a lot of bad stuff. Now, as a side note, Stacy is Wiccan and pagan. So the one that's harming her, she worships. So I'm on the phone with her. I'm at my job, you know, talking on the phone. I got these headphones on and just trying to figure it out. We're on Skype so I can see her. And our Skype conversation must have been 4 to 5 hours long. Halfway through, I mean, I'm just talking to her. I'm watching. She's the only one in the room the whole time. On the other side of the room, this noise starts coming on. Somebody talking, and it sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh. She walks over, her voice recorder started playing. And as I said, a year prior, it had recorded me telling stories. The voice recorder started playing my voice. Hmm. And me telling the stories. Like over a year before, you know, we talked again. And she's like, well, I guess I'm talking to the right person. I was a little skeptical. I mean, we're talking and then all of a sudden the drawer flies out of, one of the drawers flies out of the shelf. And I'm watching all of this and I'm thinking like, yeah, maybe wow. She is like, you know, Suji lying or, you know, maybe she rigged it up like that or something. It's possible. I'm not going to believe, you know. But then I'm talking, and all of a sudden, this voice comes on the Skype phone with us. And it made me jump because I had my headphones on. It was loud, and it was clear, and it said something to me. It said, I didn't even know what it said. It said, S-I-S something. And I'm like, and she's like, what the heck was that? I'm like, I don't know. That wasn't you. She's like, no, that wasn't me. I'm like, okay, well, if this is a spirit trying to tell us something, can you do it again? Boom. Happens again on demand. This voice comes on, that same whisper, it sounded like S-I-S-I-S-I, like that. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to understand what you're saying, but I can't understand what you're trying to say. Could you please say it slower? Comes back on, says it slower. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
And I'm watching her the whole time. Thinking she must be a great ventriloquist because her mouth is not moving. I'm like, okay, let me get my recorder out. So I get my voice recorder out, and we continue talking. I get my ovilus out. And after about an hour, my ovilus says one word the entire night. It says suffer. We continue talking. This thing comes and continues interrupting us. By the way, I have these things recorded. These audio files recorded, and I don't put them on the internet, though, for obvious reasons. I don't want to glorify this thing. It was speaking in Latin. It was telling me things in Latin. One of the things it said in English, though, was, we are the Legion. And I heard that loud and clear, and I'm like, something's going on. I hope this is her messing around. Something inside felt that something was not right, and something was... not all the truth was being told, that there was some kind of tricks in the background. And it turned out that it was, but it wasn't that. The trick was I wasn't talking to the girl that needed help. The girl that needed help was not there. I talked to her recently. She's now better. She barely remembers any of our conversations because this other thing was pretending to be her. And it was trying to trick me into into becoming its next meal, perhaps.
Wow.
I call my friend. I call my friend. We call her Minnie. She's a very, very sensitive psychic. She is able to tell me what's going on. Her power, her gift is that the ghosts will talk to her. My ancestors, my guardian angels will talk to her and tell her what to tell me. So I explained to her a little bit of what's going on. She says that she's hearing this mocking laughter. When I said I would like to help this girl, she says she hears a laughter in the background. She doesn't know who it is. It's a woman, and she's laughing and saying, go ahead and try. She says to be careful in a lot of this stuff. I contact another one of my friends. His name is Jose Prado. That's his real name. He's in Florida, very, very, very good guy. I mean, he has many, many faiths. He's very strong. He knows exactly what to do. I've never dealt with something that spoke in Latin before, and it terrified me. You know, so I asked him, and I just told him, I'm like, you know, I need a little bit of help. Would you be able to give me help? I didn't tell him anything about the case. And he's like, sure. But he types this out to me after. He types out, something nasty is watching you. It's a female demon as far as I can tell, possibly serpentine. It's a fallen Gregori that is watching you. It tried to spy on me when reading your message. So I look up the word Gregori. It's a fallen angel. It's something that is very, very old. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy doesn't even know, all right? And my friend, my psychic friend, Minnie, brought up the word Carpathian. Carpathian mountain range in Europe, around that area over there is where all the vampires originate from, it said, and werewolves and succubi and incubi and that kind of stuff is all in that mountain range. And it's all like primordial old stuff. Well, this is when it gets interesting. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. You know, I'm getting this thing. I also know that this thing can now watch and monitor what I'm saying on Facebook. In a private message to my friend, it's able to watch it and see what, and watch him reading my message because he could sense it. Well, the next day I talk to the girl. I keep all of this to myself. She tells me, oh yeah, the name of this thing is, she's like, the name of this thing that's on me, by the way, is Lilith. And I had to research that because I wasn't all too familiar. Lilith is the mother of demons, the first succubus. She's in some accounts, she's credited with giving birth or creating demons as we know them today. She's like a fallen angel. So the Gregori, the Carpathian, all of that falls perfectly. I took this recording the next night I had off to this one place that I've always respected. Now, as I said, I'm Catholic, but I don't believe that I call God down to help me unless I really need it. If I really need him to come, I will call him down. But until then, I'm going to go ahead and seek guidance from my ancestors and that kind of stuff. We go in the back. I want to know if this recording is legit, the voices that I'm catching, or if it's like somebody hiding behind her bed and whispering, you know. And so we're over there. So I go over there, and my friend Guy and Ivan are with me. And we're just hanging out, talking story. And then I finally introduce myself again to the spirits and say the purpose that we're here. I'm like, I'd like to know if this is real or not. No wind the whole time, right? I put my laptop on my car, press play, and the voice starts playing. Immediately when the voice comes on, this 70-mile-an-hour wind, must have been 70, 80 miles. I ride a motorcycle. It was really windy. It almost blew my laptop off the car. It just picked up and blew all around us. I pressed stop, play again. The voice started coming back on. The wind started coming back on, too. And then other things started happening, too. I mean, I'm like, okay, so this is real. I guess you don't want this here in your area. Mind you, we're in the back pitch black mountains in the rainforest, you know, and like, I guess you don't want this here. And then something throws a rock at us out of the bush, and it goes tung, 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 and just kind of stops in front of my friend Guy. And I always need confirmation, so I say, okay, just checking, you don't want this thing to be played here again. Another rock came flying out and hit Guy right in the foot. I'm like, okay, that's a good sign, you know, I think it's time to leave. So we got signs from them, these other people. I took them after hearing that. I mean, I'm trying to help her my next night off. I'm in my garage because I wouldn't do this in the house. And I'm on Skype with her, and I'm still trying to tell her, you know, yeah, you got to go to church. You got to do something. You know, she wants me to come over and perform an exorcism on her. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I'm not. as I'm talking to her over Skype in my garage, her head flies back, her eyes roll back, and she starts talking in this other voice.
Oh, weird.
And I'm looking at this like, you know, holy moly, are you kidding me? Well, not holy moly wasn't the word that came out of my mouth, but it starts yelling and spitting and cussing, and it was just nasty. But it wasn't in English. It must have been in Latin or something. So I'm over there, and I'm freaked out. I'm officially freaked out. This is a possession. This is the first time I've ever seen one. I put my phone down, and I start praying. I start saying the Our Father who art in heaven, and I have to start three times because something is telling me in my head, when you say it, you cannot be scared. You cannot show any kind of question. You have to say it, and you have to use it as your strength. You have to use the prayer to banish it. There can be no doubt, no question, no fear in your heart while you're saying it. I had to start three different times. Well, by the time I finished it, she was back to herself, and she's like, "So why were you praying?" You know, like that. She didn't remember anything. Just continued talking about what she was before this whole thing happened. I didn't tell her, you know, like whatever, you know. Next night at work, still working with her, still trying to help her out. It's 5:45 in the morning, and I have to clock out of work, and I have to brief my coworkers. So I tell her, "Hey, listen, I'll call you right back. You know, on the way home, we'll talk on the way home." I end the call. I log out of Skype. I exit the app on Skype on my phone. I put the phone in my pocket, and I start briefing my coworker. I'm walking back to my car. You know, I'm sitting in my car. I grab my phone out of my pocket, and I'm about to call her back when I hear this breathing noise coming from my phone. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. I turn my phone on. I'm in the middle of a Skype conversation with her already. Except it's not her. It's very dramatic. It was like her face was right pushed right up against the camera. So all I saw were these eyes and, you know, like a forehead and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm like, all right, whatever. And then it started talking to me, and I'm like, this is still kind of weird. And it wasn't her. She had fallen asleep. She was falling asleep when I was talking to her. And I'm like, okay, you know, this thing comes on and starts talking, and I'm like, wait. I pray to Michael the Archangel immediately. And like happened many times before, the words that came out of my mouth in the prayer were not my own. I prayed to Michael the Archangel, instead of this thing to be gone, I prayed that the truth be told. And I remember hearing that and thinking, okay, we'll see why I said that. I turned the phone back on after praying, and she's on the phone and looking at me and like smiling and says, "Your Michael, it has nothing on me. Your Michael is not powerful at all. Your God has nothing on me. I am more powerful than them. I am more," you know, and all of this stuff. I mean, the kind of stuff you see in movies and stuff. And I'm like thinking to myself, it's because I didn't ask you to leave. If I had told Michael to kick you out and banish you, he would have banished you. And I'm just like, okay, well, let's keep talking. And so I have a 10 to 15 minute conversation as I'm driving with this thing. She tells me, "Stop hurting my daughter. Leave my daughter alone." And I said, "You're the one hurting her." She's like, "No, I'm not." I'm like, "If you continue helping her, you're going to end up killing her." And I'm like, "But you're bad, and you're the one that's killing her." She's like, "I am not bad. I am not good. I am power. I am everything." And it was that kind of a conversation where it was a lot of, like, argument. And I'm like, "No, you're a demon. You're bad." "No, I'm not. I'm, you know." That kind of confirmed something that I had known deep down. If I were to have helped this girl, it wouldn't have been good. A Wiccan friend of mine explained to me a few weeks after that if this girl had undergone an exorcism, it's very possible that her soul would have been pulled out in the process and she would have died, because she invited it into her life. She invited this thing, and it was so entwined around her soul that to remove one would be to remove the other. And so there was absolutely nothing I could do except tell her to go to church. You fill your heart with the holy light, and there's no room for the darkness. after this, I started, you know, after this, I kind of had to take a break. And I'm like, this is weird. I mean, I would get friend requests from people named the Fallen Angel, the Dark Angel, the Fallen, you know, this kind of stuff. And it was like, I'm like, okay, yeah, she's messing with me. She made a fake account. And I look at it, and the account was opened up like 5 years before, and it was a guy in Wisconsin named the Fallen Angel that's a completely different guy, or a guy in Kentucky, or a guy in a different state, and or a girl. And it's like this. In one day, I had three friend requests from somebody named the Fallen Angel, three different ones.
That is bizarre.
666 started coming up. Kept coming up again and again. I started having dreams where my faith would be tested. I started having these dreams so vivid that I can still, till today, recall every single feature of them. And it terrified me. I would talk on the phone. This thing would be there talking on the phone with me, listening to me. This thing was invading my life. I had to take a break from this. You know, I had to go away. At the same time, we had a double hurricane coming in, which really messed up the energy and everything. I play a video game to wind down called World of Warcraft, in which I had a, you know, there's a character called a hunter. You can name your character, and then you get an animal, and you name the animal. Well, there was this hunter name. There was, like, twice in that weekend or that week, there was a character that named itself Lilith, who had an animal named Stacy. And then there was a character who named himself Stacy and had an animal named Lilith. And what they did on the game was follow me all over the place. And keep in mind, you're in the game, you're in this big city, there's at least 24 people, 36 people, or hundreds of people there with you at any given time. And out of everybody, it chose me to follow around everywhere and harass me until I just turned off my computer and said, heck with this.
That is... Oh, and by
I
did play Warcraft for you, Warlock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun way to wind down.
That's wild.
Yeah. I played it for my friend Gary, because he wanted to hear it, and he had brought a friend as well. And so his friend's listening to this recording, and he knows Stacy. Just from her voice, because I wouldn't tell her name. I wouldn't say her name. And I still won't, you know. And he looks at me, he's like, is this so-and-so? Is this Stacy? The one that works at the clubs? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how do you know that? He's like, you need to stay away from her. Something's wrong with her. And I'm like, I kind of found that out, you know. He's like, because she wouldn't tell me. She said she sells, she has a business that goes with the clubs. He's a DJ, and he knew her, and she would come over and sell her product or whatever. And he told me she's a dominatrix. That's what she does for business. She's a professional dominatrix. Lilith is for succubus. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Sounds like she's
the
let
connection.
All sorts of stuff into her life.
Yeah. And so
you have to really, what the lesson is, you got to be careful who you hang around and what kind of energy you're around, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
but you know
what?
It sucks, but given another opportunity, I would probably have done this again, because that's who I am. If there's a possibility that I can help somebody, I will help them. You know, my wife's not too happy with that either, but that's just how I am. Knowing what I know now, I think I could be a little more help. She moved to the mainland in the last year, and since I talked to her, she has become a lot better. She found a high priest in her faith, pagan, I believe, or Wiccan, and the high priest helped her and got rid of this thing, as far as we know anyway. Which was a great lesson to me, because I'm Catholic and there are no other gods before you. I guess to each their own, right? I can't be proud and say that if you don't get a Catholic blessing, you will never be healed. Everybody has their own life. Everybody has their own reality. But, yeah, this is what started off everything. And it still kind of peeks its head out every now and then and tells me that it's still here, because I feel that I have come across this this thing now knows who I am, and it also knows that it did not win the battle, but it intends on winning the war. These things are old. These things will always be around. This thing can wait for decades and decades and decades or generations and then come back and get you. That's kind of what worries me, but all I can do is protect myself and find ways to teach, you know, and that kind of stuff as well.
Isn't that something when we go into this type of work, you know, whether it's mediumship or paranormal, we open that door. You can never shut that door. You can never go backwards. Is that correct?
Yeah, I say this often. I miss the days where I would just tell ghost stories. It was so much simpler. I would tell the stories that were written down and published or little things that would happen, and now I have these other ghost stories that had, you know, some people hear this, and sometimes they walk right out of the room because they don't want to hear anymore, you know. But yeah, that's two of my stories, my Bobby Mackey experience. If you can connect the first story to the second in the right order, you can kind of see where I was going, where I was at the moment, and what I was going through.
So quickly, Joe, do you think that people that go to Bobby Mackey's and they're maybe, you know, whether they're in paranormal investigation still or, you know, they're in the mediumship business, do you think that they're affected like it happened to you, or what do you feel is the exposure to be?
I think it was an experience that was meant for me. I have had many, many people, not many people, maybe about half a dozen people message me saying they went to Bobby Mackey's and not a single thing had happened. You know, they're like, Bobby Mackey's is not haunted anymore. There's nothing there. What I found out doing the ghost tours is that the spirits will react differently to a different person. You know, they know the baggage you carry around. They know who you are. They know where you've been. They know who's around you. And so they'll react. Some nights on the tour we'll have nothing happen. Other nights we'll have all hell break loose. You know, so the experiences are based on the individual that's involved. That's part of the equation. You take out that part of the equation and it's a whole different answer and a whole different outcome.
Makes sense.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing.
That's the thing about doing the ghost tours. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to thank you for ran out of time, but I want to thank you for coming back on the show and telling us about your experiences. Now I'm actually a little spooked out about it. But I just want to thank you for coming back on the show and telling us a little bit about Bobby Mackey's and demons. And I was particularly intrigued with the Latin and all that. That's frightening. That's stuff you see in movies and I'm like, ugh. You know, Latin is a great language. It's creepy. But I don't know. It's definitely kind of some freaky stuff, and I commend you for staying in the field to continue to help. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good Halloween.
All righty.
Aloha.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Happy Halloween.
Mahalo.
Hello.
Oh.
Wow, that hour went by pretty fast, Jason.
Smoking by. I had totally forgotten it. I forgot it. Can you believe that?
Yes.
I'm so out of touch. So I don't know if I'm skipping or not, but I'm so out of touch of the dates and holidays. I totally zoned that it was even Halloween. Yeah,
I know.
I'm out of it.
I think tomorrow night, is it either tonight or tomorrow night? I have to go through the records, but it's my first year being a co-host with you.
Well, time flies.
Yes, very much so. Been a pleasure. I just enjoy getting the people and getting to know them on a personal basis and just learning a lot about different things. That's what I love about doing this, is that so many people have such a wealth of information and knowledge. It's all about sharing. So.
Now, you definitely made some wonderful contacts and brought some great guests on the show, and we look forward to continuing to do Paranormal Horror. Hopefully
it'll just grow
it to expand it. Yeah.
Yeah, bigger audience, and yes, we have some very good guests, and I'm so grateful. This is a good time to, you know, look at your ancestors and look at the people in your lives and, you know, just say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts to be able to share and be able to just have, you know, the good experience in this journey to, in this life together. So anyway, well, next week, Jason, is going to be a new gal that's going to come on. She is pretty much her main thing right now that she's been in the business is shamanic journeying. It's her name is Analia Jackson, and she will be our guest. Just a very, very beautiful and wise soul. Love her energy, and I'm looking forward to having her next week talking about shamanic journey.
Sounds interesting. We've ever had any a little bit of talk regarding shamanism, but not a lot. So, and it's been a while. So it should be a great, great learning experience for us on the show.
It is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Jason. But anyway, thank you, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween. And we'll see you next week. It's time for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I want to thank everybody for supporting the show and hope everybody has a fantastic week and Halloween and gets a lot of candy for you, for those out there trick-or-treating. And we'll see everybody next week.
Take care. Peace.